Hi, my name is Andrew Connell. In this brief video, I'm going to walk you through the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices sample, core.xml-based fields and content types. In an effort to help customers address the most impactful and useful scenarios, the Office 365 Development Patterns and Practices group has created a number of code samples that complete common customer scenarios. The code is published in a public GitHub repository located at https://github.com/officedev/pnp, and it contains solution packs of content as well as sample packs of sample code that has been reviewed by the Office 365 team and blessed as a recommended way to approach these different scenarios. This sample demonstrates how to use the feature framework element XML files, defining fields and content types to provision remote structures in the host web. This is a typical process when we provision site collections remotely using the CSOM or the client-side object model. All implementation is based on the code located in the core component, the core shared component, Office PNP. Let me say all that again. All implementation is based on the code located in the shared component used in the PNP practices guidance called the Office PNP core. This encapsulates the provisioning process. The developer will need to just provide the element.xml file and call the right methods. Let's see the sample in action. Before we dive in and take a look at the code, why don't we see this sample in action first? All I've done is take this project and I've changed the start URL to point to an Office 365 developer site on my tenant. I'll come over here and click start. All right, so once the app has now been deployed, before it can install, I have to trust it. So I'll click trust it. And we'll be taken to the start page for our remote web. This has got three scenarios on it: to create site columns, content types, and a new library with some custom views. Before we do this, let me jump over to the target site, the host web, and let's take a look at his site column gallery. What I want you to take notice of is that we don't have a group here called Contoso Columns. So let's come over to back to our remote web and let's click Run Scenario 1. Once we see this finished, you can see here that it says that site columns have been created in the host web. So let's come back over here to the site columns group, our site columns gallery. I'll refresh the list and I should see now one called Contoso Columns right here. I pick Contoso Columns, and I can see a list of columns that we have that were just created. The next sample we're going to want to look at is for the site settings content type gallery. I want you to take notice of the fact that we don't have a group here called Contoso. If I come back over to my remote web and I click on the second button, Run Scenario 2, this is going to go create a content type inside of the parent site. Once the app refreshes, we can see here that content types were created in the host web. So let's come back over here and refresh this page again. And if I open this up, we'll see a group called Contoso, and we can see that we have two content types that have been created inside of this group. Okay, let's go back to our remote web and let's look at the last scenario, scenario 3. If I click on this, it should create a new library. Our library has a name called sample. It'll also create a couple custom views inside that list. So let's come back over here to our host web. So we can see here, we have another list here called sample. Don't be confused with this one up here. That's taking you to the samples site on MSDN. This one right here is the one that was created called sample. If I look at this one, I can see we have a library that was created. And we can also see that I have a couple new views here, like the all documents in a modified order, all documents based on author. We have a couple multiple views. So let's take a look at the code for this solution. This Visual Studio solution contains three different projects. We have the shared Office Dev PNP core project, which contains a bunch of lists and libraries and extension methods that'll make our life a lot easier. It's also very reusable in your own projects. We also have our SharePoint project for the SharePoint app. And if I take a look at the app manifest, we can see it's a remote web or a provider-hosted app that will create a remote web And the default start page is the default.aspx inside of the remote web. As far as the permissions are concerned, we're given full control over the parent site. If I come down here and look at the home page, default.aspx really only contains a bunch of buttons for executing each one of these different scenarios. There's the one for scenario one, here's one for scenario two, and finally here's one for scenario three. The real work is going to happen inside of the default.aspx.cs file. So let's take a look at this. I'm going to skip past the pre-init and the page load methods because they're just doing the same old stuff that we normally get in a standard web project. Now let's take a look at the first button. The first one says create fields from XML file. If I come over here on the create fields from XML file, what this is going to be an extension method on the web object in the client-side object model. Here I'm passing in a specific path to an XML file that it contains a bunch of site columns that I want to provision inside of the parent site. So if I scroll over here, you can see I'm pointing to a file inside of the current site called sitecolumns.xml. If we take a look at that over here in the resources, and I look at sitecolumns.xml, this matches the same schema that we use inside of a feature. So if I was using a fully trusted code and I could create sandbox or farm solutions, I'd probably create a feature instead that created new site columns, and this would be my element manifest file to provision those files. There's no need for some custom code to provision these. Well, I'm using the same syntax here, the same schema, which will make my life a little bit easier. So this code file is being used, or this XML file is being used and passed into this create fields from XML file. If I go over to the shared project and I look at the app model extensions, and let's look at the field and content type extensions. Here's create fields from XML. I'll go into full screen for this one. You can see I'm pointing to the SharePoint site where I want to create these, and I'm also pointing to the XML document that contains a reference. Now, I'm not actually having to pass in the web because this is an extension method, so that should be, this method is added to the current site. What you'll see here is that this is going to go in and it's going to read up all of the XML inside of the file that's provided. I'm not going to walk through the link to XML stuff that you see here to go figure out the fields that are there, but just know that it's walking through and it's getting a list of all the different fields and then finding the name of the specific field. We've got another extension method here to check to see if the field exists by a specific name. So I can right click on this and look at his declaration. Again, it's an extension method, and what it's doing is it's using the client object model to check and see if it finds a field, the field that we're creating, if it finds one inside of SharePoint with the exact same internal name. It's looking at the fields collection on the current SharePoint site and looking at the internal name for each one of them to see if it finds it. If it finds it, it returns true. If it doesn't, it returns false. Field exists by name. If it does not exist, then it's just going to call create field. So what create field is going to do is it's going to go in and create the actual site call. So it's passing in the XML. Let's take a look at what create field does. Create field is creating a new field, and it's doing creating a field using this add field as XML method that's on the fields collection on a SharePoint site. So fields are also referred to as site columns. In the object model, we call them fields, and in the web UI, we call them site columns. The way I create a field is I can pass in the XML that defines the field, and then I can also specify some additional options. Once I've done that, I'm then just going to say, let's update the current SharePoint site and execute the query to actually go in and create the field, and that'll return it back to me. So this way, you've seen how to go create custom fields. The next option that we had was to create a custom content type. That's done using the exact same process. So here I just have a method called create content type from XML file. That's going to do the same thing of looking at the XML and creating the new content type, using an extension method that was created by the Patterns and Practices group. For the third scenario, what we're doing here is we are going to create a SharePoint list and add some views to that list. So here I'm checking to see if the list exists. This is an extension method that's provided by the Patterns and Practices team on the client object model's web object. I'm not going to go to the details and show you how this one works because it's pretty straightforward in the description of the method. It just simply checks to see, does the list exist? If it does, then it will skip the creation of it. Otherwise, it will then go in and create the list. So here we're going to go create the document library. So here's our document library right here, and it's going to create the document library. So this also is an extension method. I'll show you this one if I right-click, and we'll go to the declaration for this one. This is going to create a new extension, a new document library. It's got an internal method here called create list internal. So we'll right-click on this and go take a look at it. What this one does is it uses a list creation information object to create a new list. This is something you have to do in the CSOM. If I was doing this with fully trusted code, I have two options. I can either just create a list on the list collection on a SharePoint site, or if I wanted to do it in a more declarative fashion in, like, say, a sandbox solution or a full farm solution, I could use the list instance element manifest or element in a feature to provision a new instance of a list based on a specified template. But here I'm using a creation information object. For the information object, I'm passing in the title, the template, the URI, and then I'm going to go say, go add the new list to the list collection. I'm also then going to change once the list has been created. I then may modify things like setting up the versioning and the minor versions of the list. And then finally, I'll save my changes. And that's how we create the list. I'll come back over here to the code. So now we've created our document library. I'll then get a reference to my document library. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to use another extension method on my list object provided by the Patterns and Practices group called add a content type to a list by a specific name or by name. And then here's the content type I want to add. Well, just a minute ago, we added some content types. So in order to add a content type to a list, they've given us this extension method where I'm going to get a reference to the current SharePoint site and or to the parent site of the current list. And then I'm going to use this other method that's provided by the Patterns and Practices group called get content type by name. I pass in the SharePoint site and the content type I'm looking for, and I get a content type object back. To add the content type to the list, I'm just going to call add content type to list, passing in the list, the content type, and any default content I want to initialize it with. So here we are. We're going to set the list to allow for content types. If it doesn't already, it'll be set to true. If it's already true, we'll effectively make no changes here. Then I'm going to get a list of all the content types that we're using on this list. If it finds the existing content type on the list, it doesn't do anything. Otherwise, it will add the content type to the current list, the current collection of content types on the current list, and then save our changes. And then finally, I may set some default content that I want to add to the list as well using a specific content type. Once that's done, I then want to initialize any views or add any views to my list. Again, I'm passing in our XML file that contains a list of all of our different views. So we have another XML file here in our project called list views. That'll be passed into the method create list views from an XML file. Again, this will be another extension method for us to be able to use. And again, to get the code for all of the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices group, make sure you go to GitHub at github.com/officedev/PMP. If you want to discuss these different samples, ask questions, and interact with the team, they have a dedicated group in the Office 365 technical network in Yammer. Just go to yammer.com/ITProNetwork and look for the group called O365 Dev Patterns and Practices.